I want to begin this morning by actually just acknowledging how difficult the next weeks and months will be for you as a congregation. Nobody likes change, and certainly congregations don't like the change ministers, especially when that means a much-loved minister like Stephen has retired and will no longer be here. The reality, however, is that change is very much part of life. Change is part of church life. And actually, change is continually happening and has already happened. There's nothing we can do about it, and so we must learn to cope with it, to adapt, and to overcome. And so it's my plan that on the Sundays that I'm here to help us think through how we cope with this change. What are the things that we need to do? How do we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, remembering that actually this is his church and not any ministers? And just as an aside on that, and for your information, I'm planning to be here at least once in every calendar month. I will be chairing the Kirk session and the committee meetings. I also plan to take the Wednesday night Bible studies, which are in the church here on alternate Wednesday evenings. It's not this Wednesday, it's the first one, it's the one after, is it? Yeah, so it's not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday they begin, and I will take those. As I said to you, my phone number is widely available. It's not hard to get my phone number. And as I said to the kids, you know, if you see me in Port Stewart or in Coleraine or in Port Rush, and I look as though I'm going to walk past you, you know, don't be offended. Just shout at me. And call me. Don't assume that I will recognize you, because I won't. But you will probably recognize me. So come up and speak to me. But this idea of change in a church, it's nothing new. This morning we read how Paul said his goodbyes to the elders from the church in Ephesus. He was helping them to cope with change. Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, and something within him just knew that actually that journey would be significant, that something would happen because of that journey, and this was his last opportunity to speak to these friends. We know that Paul would go on, he would be arrested, he would be taken to Rome, where he would stand trial, and we believe would face the death penalty. Paul didn't know any of that. He just knew in his heart of hearts that actually this was goodbye, that he had to say goodbye to these elders, these friends that he had worked with for so many years. And so in verse 25 we read, Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Stephen hasn't gone to Jerusalem. I'm fairly confident of that. He sent me a text this morning. He's in Bushmills. And knowing him as we do, it is really very unlikely that he will be arrested, that he will stand trial, and it's even less likely that he will face the death penalty. But we all know that he won't be back in Ballywillan as minister. He won't preach regularly from the pulpit again. He won't visit you in hospital or be there to celebrate or weep with you in the way that he has been for these last 19, 20 years. You've said your goodbyes pretty much in the same way as Paul said his goodbyes to the elders from Ephesus, although I'm not sure about the Caliban, I don't know whether they had a dance. But this means that we have much to learn from the things that Paul said to these elders. Paul reminded these folk of how he'd lived among them, how he'd loved them, how he'd preached to them. He taught them not just the things that they wanted to hear, but actually the things that they needed to hear and were maybe difficult to hear. He taught them the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He reminded them of how he visited and taught in their homes, how he gave himself to them, that his ministry wasn't Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, but actually it was a lived ministry, a whole life commitment. And Paul wasn't boasting when he said this. He wasn't saying to these elders, actually, this is goodbye and we'll not see each other again. And so really, you ought to be saying, thank you for all that I've done. That's not what he was saying. He was reminding everyone of how he lived among them because he wanted these people to follow his example in his absence. He wanted them to take up the mantle and to carry on the work that he'd been doing among them. Folks, how did Stephen minister among you? When you look back on those 19, 20 years, what do you remember? What was he famous for? You see, Stephen's ministry wasn't just about working hard, although I know he did that. It wasn't about getting a reputation for being a caring pastor, and I know he has that. It was about service. Service to the Lord and service to you. It was about a teaching ministry. But that teaching ministry was so much more than speaking from the front here. Because actually, what I hope has been happening is that as he cared for you, and as he watched over you, and as he pastored and loved you, that you have been watching and learning. And actually, what he's been doing is teaching you what it is to love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. See, part of Stephen's time here has been to teach us that the ways in which we benefited from his ministry, so that's what it is to be a church. That's what it means for us to love and to care for one another. That's what it means for us to put Christ first and to put our neighbor before ourselves. And so Paul is saying to us through his goodbyes to these elders, now is the time for us to put all of that learning into practice. The church still needs to be pastored. People still need to be loved and cared for. And I, along with the vacancy commission, we'll do our best. But we won't be here all of the time. I know the elders will do their best. But they won't be able to be among you all of the time. Some of them have got real jobs they have to go and do during the day. And so they won't be able to completely fill the gap either. And this means that we will need to love and to pastor one another. We'll need to pray for one another. need to visit one another, support one another. We need to build one another up, comfort one another. The things that we've watched Stephen do, we're going to have to do for each other. We'll need to put all of that learning into practice. And actually, this is important because Paul was clear to these Ephesian elders that dangers would now come from within the church and from without of the church. He said in verses 30 and 31, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw disciples after them. The dangers from outside the church, hopefully we'll spot those. But dangers that come from within the church, and I don't necessarily just mean from within the congregation of Ballywillan, but from within the church, they can be harder to recognize because they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And it's by watching out for one another that we stand a better chance of spotting these dangers. I'm not an expert on how predators work in the wild. But from what I've seen on television, a lion will try to separate a wildebeest or a gazelle from the herd. They're easier to take down when they're on their own. There's more protection in the herd. And it's by looking out for one another, sticking together in prayer and love, being concerned about our neighbor, that we protect one another. Someone who feels as though they're on the outside, on their own, unloved and uncared for, well, they are easier prey for the lies of the evil one. And so Paul is urging us to watch out, to bring those people in, to love each other, to shepherd one another. The fancy church term for all of this is that we are to disciple one another. But don't think of this for 1 minute that this is about keeping the church together in order to make it a more attractive prospect for potential new ministers. To think like this is simply to reduce the value of the church to little more than a display in a shop window. And believe me, the church is much more valuable than that. In verse 28, Paul said, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. The reason it's important that we take such care of Christ's church, of one another, is because of the incredible value that God has placed on each of us, both individually and collectively. Care for your neighbor, because your neighbor is worth Christ's blood. Protect the church, because she is so precious in the sight of God that Christ died for her. Whenever Julia and I first moved to Monydig, to our first charge, we bought a new dining room table and a sideboard. We had never owned anything like that before. Most of the things that we had in our house up until then came from somebody else. And you know, to this day, Julia is still incredibly protective of that table. Now, if you're ever in our house and you come and you said, like, don't panic, you're allowed to put your hands on it, you'd be okay. Probably best not to tell her I've told you this story. But she's incredibly protective of it because it's hers. We are Christ's. The church is Christ's. And so we're to care for it. It can seem quite the responsibility, and there's no getting away from that. But, and there is a but, and it's an important but. It's not a responsibility that we bear on our own. Because Paul didn't just say to the elders, right guys, over to you, make sure nothing happens, and then leave. He committed these men to God's care, to his grace, to his word, which builds up, and we read about that in verse 32. And so as this vacancy moves on, as time trundles on, remember that we're all under the care of God, that actually we're in his grace, and that he will carry us. He will fill this place with a new shepherd leader, but it'll be in his good time. He will bring to completion the work that he has begun in each of us, both individually and collectively. And we're reminded of that promise this morning as we come around his table. But as we move forward, we remember that this is his church. That yes, we are charged to care for it, but this is his church. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you that your church is unlike any other organization on earth. Because your church is called into being by you. It's constituted by you. It exists because of you. That you watch over it. That you care for it. That you protect it. And that you have promised that Jesus will build it. And so, Lord, this morning we thank you that we can commit this congregation, this corner of your church in Ballywillan, into your care. And we pray that you would build it. But we pray that you would build us together. That you would build a love among us that watches out for one another, that prays for one another, that cares for one another. That you would bind us together in a way that brings glory to your name. And this we ask through the precious name of Jesus. Amen.